Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference. So today's class will be given by His Grace Adi Gadanta Das Prabhuji in the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, text number 23.58 onward. So is Adi Gadanta Das Prabhu, are you there?
Hare Krishna, Kaumodaki Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Mataji, I am here.
Thank you. Welcome to this Bhakti Sangha Japa group. And please, Prabhuji, take over. This Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 23, verse number 58 onwards.
And yes, Mataji.
Take the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji. So again, we would like to thank all the devotees for joining. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. We are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrit. We will be reading three verses today. Madhya Leela, chapter 23, entitled Life's Ultimate Goal, Love of Godhead. Verse number 58, 59 and 60. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching Srila Sanatana Goswami in these wonderful verses of Shri Chaitanya Charitamrit by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj. Verse number 58. Adhirudha Mahabhava Duita Prakar Sambhoge Madana Virahe Mohana Namtar. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Abhay Charana Aravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: highly advanced ecstasy is divided into two categories, Madana and Mohana. Meeting together is called Madana and separation is called Mohana. Verse number 59. Madane chumbanadi haya ananta vibheda udgurna chitra jalpa mohane dui bheda. Translation: on the Madana platform, there are kissing and many other symptoms which are unlimited. In the Mohana stage, there are two divisions, Udgurna, unsteadiness, and Chitrajalpa, varieties of mad emotional talks. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing to Srila Sanatana Goswami the various relationships, moods and rasas of transcendental love for Krishna. He describes Shantaras, then he describes Dasyaras, then Vatsalya and Sakhyaras. And now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in these verses is describing the ecstasies of Madhuryaras, which is the topmost. And we saw that Madana means the ecstasy felt in union and Mohana means the ecstasy felt in separation. So therefore, in Madana, where there is union, there are symptoms as mentioned in this verse. And Mohana, there is separation. So therefore, there are symptoms like unsteadiness, mad emotional talks, because there is intense fire of separation. There is the madness caused by separation. Purport: for further information, see Madhya Leela 1.87. So it has already been described in detail by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada is directing us there. The last verse for today, verse number 60. Chitra jalpera dasha anga prajalpatinam bhramara gitarada dasha shloka tahate praman. Translation: mad emotional talks include 10 divisions called prajalpa and other names. An example of this is the 10 verses spoken by Srimati Radharani called the Song of the Bumblebee. Purport: imaginative mad talks known as Chitra Jalpa can be divided into 10 categories. Prajalpa, Parijalpa, Vijalpa, Ujjalpa, Sanjalpa, Avajalpa, Abhijalpa, Ajalpa, Pratijalpa, Sujalpa. There are no English equivalents for these different features of Jalpa, imaginative talk. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Kam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratise Namaha Pancha Tattva Atmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I would like to humbly seek the blessings of all the devotees who are listening so that by the power of your blessings I may be able to receive the necessary empowerment from Shri Shri Guru Gauranga to serve all of you nicely the next 50 minutes or so. I have come to Potomac, Washington, ISKCON Temple, ISKCON of DC, and I am sitting here in the courtyard and trying to serve all of you. So if there is any disturbance because of wind or any other noises, please forgive me and please tolerate me. In today's process, we are seeing how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing such intimate details about the ecstasies of Madhurya Leela. And here we are seeing that how within Madhurya Rasa, one is Madana and other is Mohana. Madana happens in union and Mohana happens in separation, Viyoga. And one of the purport are the 10 types of Chitra Jalpas, the imaginative talks in madness, in separation from Krishna. There is imaginative talks. And the example is in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhramar Gita, the song of the bumblebee, where Uddhava has come with a message of Krishna, because Krishna has left from Vrindavan and he has not returned. And all the Brajavasis are in deep separation from Krishna. They are burning in the fire of separation, viraha. And Krishna gives a letter to Uddhava, because Uddhava was very learned, very devoted, and he understood Krishna's heart, so Krishna could trust him. A very dear friend of Krishna. So Krishna gave a letter to Uddhava and told him to read it out to the gopis, young gopis of Vrindavan, Krishna's female friends. And Krishna warned Uddhava, don't interpret this letter, just read it out as it is. It's just like we have Bhagavad Gita as it. Krishna told Uddhava, just go and read it as it is. Don't give any interpretation. Don't try to explain or understand this. So Uddhava does as he's told. He goes and he reads out his message, the message from Krishna to the gopis. But as he's reading, Srimati Radharani, in separation from Krishna, she distracted and she's engaged in imaginative talk. She's distracted in her ecstasy of Krishna Prem. And then she sees a bumblebee. And she understands that bumblebee is called Madhu. And one of the names of Krishna is Madhusudan. So just seeing that bumblebee, that Madhu, Radharani is reminded of Madhusudan. And just looking at that Madhu, that bee, Radharani starts addressing the bee as if the bee is Krishna. And she starts speaking 10 verses which are called the Bhramar Gita. And they demonstrate the deep ecstasy of separation. Like Prabhupada says, the mad imaginative talks of Srimati Radharani, who is the reservoir of Krishna Prem. And all this is happening in separation from Krishna, Mohana. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada very brilliantly points out that these 10 types of imaginative talks, the 10 types of Chitra Jalpas, have no English equivalents. They cannot be translated into English language. So, my dear friends, we will base our discussion on this, what Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport. So similarly, these inner secrets of Madhurya Rasa, these very, very confidential, high-class emotions experienced in Madhurya Rasa, cannot be translated by Adi Gadadhar Das and explained, because I have no realization of it. I have no realization. For example, if you go to India and you tell someone to describe in detail what is that fruit that we get in Costco in America, it looks like it's very nice tasting, the orange color. You can eat it whole. You just cut it and eat it. It tastes like
persimmon.
Persimmon, yes. Yes, thank you, Mataji. Persimmon. So if somebody who has never eaten a persimmon, and you tell them, go and describe the qualities, characteristics, taste of a persimmon. Now, if someone who has never seen a persimmon, never cut a persimmon, never tasted a persimmon, how can that person describe the features, the characteristics, the taste, the rasa of persimmon? It is not possible. Similarly, for a struggling sadhaka, a conditioned soul like myself, it is impossible to describe the ecstasy of Madhurya Ras. Madhurya Ras is so elevated. And to describe the ecstasy of Madhurya Ras, the different ecstasies within Madhurya Ras, it cannot be done just theoretically. Only a person who has realization can explain it, can speak upon it. So we will not attempt, but we will very ecstatically take this point that Srila Prabhupada presents in the purport, that these Chitra Jalpas have no English translation, have no English equivalents. So we'll take this and extrapolate it to the entire verse, that this verse cannot be explained, translated by a conditioned soul like myself. So we will offer our obeisances to these beautiful descriptions in Chaitanya Charitamrita. They are very good for appreciating the depth and the very, very esoteric nature of the ecstasies of Krishna Prema, especially in Madhurya Ras. So with great respect, we will offer obeisances to these descriptions, and we personally read them as given to us by Srila Prabhupada. We personally honor them and offer our respects, and we hold them in our heart on the highest pedestal in our heart. We keep these verses, these descriptions of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and we will move on to something which is more relatable, more understandable for us, and something that will inspire us. And that is the second part of the discussion that we left last week. And this is the glories of Srimati Janava Devi, who is the eternal consort of Srila Nityananda Prabhu. So we'll continue describing the glories of Srimati Janava Devi. So last week, we discussed until the Kheturi festival, the first Gaur Purnima celebration, which was organized by Narottam Das Thakur. Six sets of deities were installed. Prana Pratishtha Tana was done, and the head pujari was Srinivas Acharya. And the entire festival was supervised. The superintendent of the entire festival, the chief, the head of the entire festival was Srimati Janava Devi, who was the leader of all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas of her time, the time after the disappearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and other four members of the Panchatattva. Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar Pandit, Advaita Acharya, and Srivas Thakur. After they all left one by one, first Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, and then in Vipralamba, in separation from him, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Pandit, and Srivas Pandit, they also left. After that, there was a big leadership vacuum in the world of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And the eternal consort of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Srimati Janava Devi, she filled that vacuum very wonderfully. Nityananda Prabhu's other wife, the older wife, Vasudha Mata, she had also left this world. So it was only Janava Devi who was left, and she fulfilled this very, very important seva of being the leader of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas very, very nicely. So after the Kheturi festival, Janava Devi announced that she would like to go to Vrindavan, because she had never been to Vrindavan in that leela. So she said, from Kheturi, now I will travel to Vrindavan. And Janava Devi had her personal associates who would accompany her, headed by Parameshwari Das, who was the servant of Janava Devi, and he would assist. Because Janava Devi and her intimate associates were in female bodies, so they needed someone who would deal with the men and deal with the logistics that had to be taken care of. So Parameshwari Das was the servant of the the associates and the whole entourage of Srimati Janava Devi. So they all left Kheturi Gram and they started proceeding towards Vrindavan. Janava Devi, my dear friends, just try to understand, let us try to understand her glories. We all know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and He is so merciful. He gave the position of a dhatri, of a mother, to Putana, the sister of Bakasur, even though Putana tried to poison him. Aho Bakiyam Stanakalakutam, that beautiful verse is there in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Uddhava is glorifying the mercy of Krishna. Krishna is so merciful. He elevated the wicked, man-eating demoness Putana to the level of a pure devotee in Golok Vrindavan. He gave her Vatsalya Bhav. Such an exalted position was given. Tamva Dayalum Sharanam Vrajema. Who is that Lord who is more merciful than Krishna to whom I can surrender? There is no one. Krishna is the most merciful Lord. This was Dwapar Yuga. But in Kali Yuga, Krishna surpassed His own merciful nature by taking on the mood of His own eternal consort, Srimati Radharani. So Krishna is most merciful, but Krishna's consort, Srimati Radharani, is even more merciful because she is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the female form. And female form is more merciful, more compassionate. So Srimati Radharani is more merciful than Krishna, and therefore when Krishna comes with the heart of Srimati Radharani, with the mood of Radharani, with the sentiments of Srimati Radharani, then that same Krishna who is Gaur Sundar becomes more merciful than Shyam Sundar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more merciful than Krishna. And much more merciful than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ready to chop off the heads of Jagai Madai with a Sudarshan Chakra. He was wanting to make history repeat itself, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his form as Varahadev and Narasimhadev had already killed Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his form as Ramachandra had already killed Kumbhakaran and Ravan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his form as Krishna had already killed Shishupal and Dantavakra with his Sudarshan Chakra. And now again in Kali Yuga, with his Sudarshan Chakra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to kill Jagai and Madhai. But it was Nityananda Prabhu who begged Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to forgive Jagai and Madhai and not kill them, but kill their anarthas, kill the vices in their heart, to destroy the lust, anger, greed, envy, pride and madness caused by false ego within their hearts. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was completely helpless when Nityananda Prabhu, who loved him so much, begged him in this way. Nityananda Prabhu would not let go of the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He said, "I will not let go of your feet. You forgive Jagai Madai, and you, unless and until you give them Krishna Prem." So Nityananda Prabhu, as we can see, is most merciful. He is even more merciful than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we saw that Krishna is most merciful, but even more merciful than Krishna is Krishna's eternal consort, Srimati Radharani. So similarly, if Nityananda Prabhu is most supremely merciful, then who can be more merciful than Nityananda Prabhu? It can only be Nityananda Prabhu's eternal consort, Srimati Janava Devi. So just like Krishna is most merciful, but Krishna's eternal consort, Srimati Radharani, is even more merciful. Similarly, if Nityananda Prabhu is most merciful, then Nityananda Prabhu's eternal consort, Srimati Janava Devi, is even more merciful than Nityananda Prabhu. In fact, Janava Devi was the complete manifestation of Nityananda Prabhu's compassion. So when Janava Devi, along with her associates, was traveling from Kheturi Gram to Vrindavan, she came to a particular village on the way. And this village was controlled by a certain class of very envious people. They were worshippers of the goddess Chandi, who is none other than Mother Durga or Srimati Parvati Devi. So they were worshippers of Chandi. And when wherever Janava Devi went with her entourage, she would do Nagar Sankirtan. She would give Bhagavatam class. She would preach the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and she would teach Harinam Sankirtan to everyone. And she would tell them, whoever you are, whatever you are, whether you are sinful or pious, whether you are rich or poor, whether you are educated or uneducated, whether you are Brahman or Kshatriya, or Vaishya or Shudra, you participate in chanting Krishna Nam, and you participate in congregational chanting of Krishna Nam, Hari Nam Sankirtan. And she would teach them Japa. She would teach them Sankirtan. And everybody would surrender to her. She would preach from Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Everyone would surrender to her. And everyone would take initiation from her. And Janavadeva would initiate them, would accept them as her disciples, give shelter to them, and would teach them the Sankirtan Yajna. And then she would move on to the next village. This was the program of Srimati Janava Devi. Just distributing Krishna Prem, distributing mercy. And when she came to this village, which was controlled by these devotees of Chandi Devi, she encountered a great resistance. Because these leaders of this village, the worshippers of Chandi Devi, they began to see the influence of Janava Devi, how everyone was converting to her philosophy and surrendering to her. They became extremely angry and envious. And therefore, right in the middle of the village where Janava Devi was giving a Bhagavatam class, these envious worshippers of Chandi Devi walked into that assembly. Janava Devi, you silly lady, how dare you take on the role of a guru? You are just an ordinary lady who live and die in the kitchen. Go and cover your face with the soot that comes out of the fire in the kitchen. Go and sit in front of the chula. What right do you have to come and sit on the Gurudev's Vyasasa? And who is the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you are preaching about? Nonsense. Everybody should become a devotee of Chandi. She is our mother. She is our controller. This entire world is under her control. Don't teach in this village about Krishna Bhakti. Immediately leave this village and stop preaching about Harinam Sankirtan. Otherwise, we'll have you thrown out of this village. You, along with all your silly, crazy, dead followers. Just leave our village. Just get out. Otherwise, we'll kill you and throw you out. How dare you become true? How dare you sit on the asana? How dare you give a class? And how dare you preach about Krishna Bhakti? Immediately leave this place. And they started using abusive words, abusive language, and spitting. And totally blasphemed Janava Devi. In the presence of all her associates, and in the presence of all the villagers who had come to hear from her. And then these powerful members of this village, the worshippers of Chandi Devi, they went to their deity of Chandi Devi for some black magical and pujas and offerings to cause the death of Janava Devi. And after puja, they went to sleep. That night, Chandi Devi, in her full ferocious form, completely ferociously angry at her own so-called devotees, at her own so-called worshippers, she appeared at night in their presence. She had many, many arms, each holding deadly weapons like swords and shields and bows and arrows and javelins. And she was accompanied by her ferocious tiger carrier. Her eyes were blazing like hot copper. She had sharp, ferocious teeth. Her tongue was swaying to and fro like a sharp sword, and it was red in color. Like many, many suns had risen in the middle of the night suddenly. And she was roaring with anger. And she chastised in very, very harsh words all her worshippers. You rascals, you insulted and blasphemed Srimati Janava Devi. You foolish rascals, call yourselves my devotees. I am Chandi, the all-powerful mother of this entire Brahmanda. All the 14 planetary systems are controlled by me. I am the supreme goddess of this Brahmanda, this universe. But I am an insignificant maid at the lotus feet of Janava Devi. Because Srimati Janava Devi is the eternal sword of the supreme person, Sri Nityananda Ram. Janava Devi has personally descended from Goloka Vrindavan, the highest planet, not in the spiritual world, you rascals, but in the, not in this material world, you rascals, but in the spiritual world. Goloka Vrindavan is the highest, topmost planet in the spiritual world. From that highest planet of the spiritual world, Srimati Janava Devi, who is the eternal consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nityananda Prabhu, has descended to this lowly earth planet just to save foolish, fallen Kali Yuga rejects like all of you. And instead of surrendering at her lotus feet, instead of worshipping her, instead of offering all respect to her, you rascals, you scoundrels, you foolish worshippers of mine, you had the audacity to insult her, to humiliate her. And not only that, you are praying to me for her death. You are scheming and plotting the death of Srimati Janava Devi, who is my worshipable goddess. I worship her. I am considering myself an insignificant maid servant of Srimati Janava Devi, and this is how you treat her? Wait. This is the last chance I'm giving you all. If right now, this very minute, you don't get up, take a bath in the river, put on clean, fresh clothes, and go to Srimati Janava Devi, who is camping under that banyan tree along with her associates, go right now and fall at her lotus feet. Beg forgiveness to her and surrender your life and soul at the lotus feet of Srimati Janava Devi right now. If you do not do that, with this very sword that I am holding in my right hand, I will chop off your ugly, lowly, sinful heads, and I will, with great delight, suck upon the blood, the hot blood that will pour out from your proud neck. Go put your head at the lotus feet of Janava Devi, bend those proud necks at her lotus feet and surrender to her right now. And all these worshippers of Chandi Devi, they woke up from their sleep, from their bed, and they actually saw the powerful, effulgent, angry personality of Chandi Devi, and they saw the sword in her hand with the razor sharp blade swaying to and fro just near their necks. What a fright these worshippers of Chandidevi got. They were trembling with fear. They somehow mustered up the courage to stand up, and they ran to the river, washed their clothes, took a bath, put on fresh clothes, clean washed clothes, and ran to where Janadev was camped. All of them, they fell at her lotus feet and begged forgiveness. And they narrated in front of everyone. By now, even the villagers had assembled there, hearing all this commotion and chaos of people running early in the morning. They all assembled there, and in front of everyone, with tears in their eyes, they offered their prayers to Janava Devi. "We have taken the role of Brahmanas, and we are worshipping Chandi Devi. We consider ourselves the spiritual leaders of this village. Everybody respects us, offers us gifts, hoping that we will guide them on the right path. But alas, we are ourselves blinded by ignorance, and we were misguiding the people. So much so that we did not even recognize you, Srimati Janava Devi, for you are the eternal consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And you have descended here just to save fallen souls like us out of your causeless mercy. And instead of surrendering at your lotus feet, we insulted you. We attacked you. We humiliated you. And we plotted and schemed to even cause your death. Please, please, Janava Devi, forgive us. Please forgive us because you are most compassionate. And please accept us as your disciples. We promise from today we will give up the worship of Chandi Devi. From today we will follow all your instructions. We will follow the regulative principles of bhakti. And we will always chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we will try our best to behave like true Vaishnavas. But please don't reject us. Please accept us. And Srimati Janava Devi, out of her abundant love and compassion, immediately forgave all those sinful worshippers of Chandi Devi who were meat eaters, who were greedy, who were lusty, who were proud, who were arrogant, and who had tried to kill her. She forgave her own aggressors, accepted them as Vaishnavas, accepted them in her shelter as her disciples, and gave them the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And that entire village came and took Diksha from Janava Devi. And within a matter of hours, the entire village was converted into first-class Gaudiya Vaishnavas. They were all together chanting and dancing to the tune of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Srimati Janava Devi instructed them on the path of Krishna consciousness. She told them, give up all other hopes of enjoyment in this material world and just surrender at the lotus feet of Krishna and chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra individually and collectively in Sankirtan and give up your sinful activities. And very soon, you will have the darshan of Krishna in his threefold bending form accompanied by Srimati Radharani. And that will be the perfection of your life. In this way, Janava Devi gave shelter to all those devotees and then proceeded along with her entourage on her journey to Sri Vrindavan Dham. After some days of travel, she came to another village which was infested with very, very cruel dacoits. These dacoits had no value for human life. They would commit atrocious murders even for few coins of currency. Just for few paisas, they would kill as many people as was required. They were completely uncivilized, barbaric tribals who completely dominated this small village. They were murderous dacoits. And here comes Srimati Janava Devi, the most gentle lady, the most gentle, loving, kind-hearted, compassionate Vaishnavi in the whole world. She comes along with her followers and she camps just outside this village so that she can preach to all of them the next morning. At night, the envious people from this village, they immediately notify the bloodthirsty dacoits that such and such lady has come and she's accompanied by many, many people. All of them are very aristocratic. All of them are very educated. All of them seem to have a lot of money with them. So this is your opportunity to loot them. Ah, this band of dacoits were so happy to get this news. They thought, wow, now we can attack these people. We can take the women for our enjoyment. We can kill everyone later on and take away all their wealth, all their coins, all their jewelry, everything. We'll just plunder and loot them. With this nefarious intention, the band of dacoits prepared themselves with knives and choppers. They found a place where Srimati Janadevi was camped and they started hiding behind trees and bushes. And they sent some of their spies into the camp of Janava Devi. And Janava Devi, along with all her followers, she did nice sankirtan. And then they all decided to go to their tents and take rest for the morning. As soon as they started taking rest, the spies came and notified the dacoits that yes, they just finished their Harinam Sankirtan and now they are all taking rest. So you can go. This is a perfect time, perfect opportunity to go and loot them and murder them. They will be caught unaware. They are unprepared for your attack. Ah, these dacoits were so elated. Everything was working according to their plan. They readied themselves. Some of them had knives. Some of them had swords. Some of them had javelins. Some of them were holding heavy sticks to hit their victims. Some of them were carrying big, big stones to hit others with. In this way, all these dacoits, after being armed with dangerous weapons, they started going towards the tent of Srimati Janava Devi. Just at that time, Janava Devi came out of her tent, seeing these people. As soon as they saw Janava Devi, they thought, we cannot lose a single moment. Let's attack her immediately before she escapes. And this band of dacoits with their weapons upraised, they started attacking Janava Devi. They rushed towards Janava Devi. And Janadeva was simply standing, looking at them with compassionate eyes. And my dear friends, 500 years ago, in this remote village where Janava Devi had camped on the way from Kheturi to Vrindavan, the first mass treadmill performance was enacted. We go to the gym, we see how there are 10, 15 treadmills and people are running, jogging, walking on those treadmills. They're working very hard, they're running fast, jogging, but they're still in the same place. My dear friends, by the divine potency of Nityananda Prabhu, this was the first demonstration of a treadmill. When those dacoits started charging towards Srimati Janava Devi, started running towards Janava Devi, Nityananda Prabhu placed them on invisible treadmills. They're running, 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 running full speed. But they could not move even one inch to Srimati Janava Devi. They increased their speed. They were puffing and panting and breathing heavily. But they could not come even one inch closer to Janava Devi. Janava Devi was not running. She was just standing looking at them with merciful eyes. And these dacoits with their upraised weapons were running full speed. But they could not come an inch closer to where Janava Devi was standing. Then they got tired. And they wanted to stop running towards Janava Devi. But they could not stop. The imaginary treadmill would not stop. It just forced them to run and run. Run all night. Until finally in the eastern direction, the sun rose. The sun was like the red button on the treadmill. As soon as the sun rose, the red button on the treadmill was pressed. And all of them, one by one, fell on the ground, flat, completely exhausted and tired and bewildered and humiliated and humbled. And all had the same realizations. Their weapons fell down from their edge. They were depleted of all energy and they had the same realization that this Janava Devi cannot be an ordinary mortal. She has to be the eternal consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And with whatever little strength they had, with their hands, they somehow crawled towards Janava Devi with the intention of surrendering at her lotus feet. And within a fraction of a second, they found themselves at the lotus feet of Janava Devi. Earlier, they were trying to run with their strong legs towards Janava Devi and they could not approach her. But now, when they approached her with a mood of humility and surrender, Sharanagati, even with their crawling hands, within a fraction of a second, they found themselves at the lotus feet of Janava Devi. Vedeshu durlabha adurlabham atma bhaktau. Just like Krishna, according to Brahma Samhita, is unapproachable by our scholarship of the Vedas. Vedeshu durlabha adurlabha atma bhaktau. But when you approach Krishna with bhakti, then he is sudurlabha. He is easily attained. Similarly, Janava Devi, when they tried to approach her with wicked and cruel and violent intentions, even though they were running full speed, they could not approach Janava Devi. But when they approached her with humility, with the mood of surrender, she was easily attained. And these murderous dacoits, having been completely purified with the abhishek, the bath that they had taken all night in their own sweat, with great humility and great realization, they surrendered their lives at the lotus feet of Janava Devi. And they spoke, "O Srimati Janava Devi, O eternal consort of the Supreme Personality of God, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, we, the dacoits of this village, surrender at your lotus feet. Tonight we wanted to loot you, murder you and all your associates for few coins of gold. But by your merciful glance, Kripa Kataksha, we have been purified of all our misunderstandings, misgivings and vices. And now we understand that the goal of life is to love God. The goal of life is to surrender at the lotus feet of the Lord. And which more merciful personality can we find than you, to surrender our lives to. Therefore, knowing you to be the most compassionate, most merciful, most benevolent, most munificent mother of all living entities, we surrender at your lotus feet again and again. You can do whatever you like with us. You can punish us, you can kill us, you can reject us. But we are unconditionally your servants. We want to become your puppets. And we always want to do with our body, mind and words only that which you want us to do. Please accept our prayers of surrender. Janava Devi glanced at them mercifully and spoke with motherly love. Please get up, my dear children. Please get up. I bless you all. As soon as she said, I bless you all their fatigue, exhaustion was gone. It disappeared. And they stood up. And Srimati Janava Devi told them, you always chant the holy name of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all his powers and potencies are invested in these holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Give up your sinful activities. Give up your profession of being dacoits. And take shelter of Krishna. Chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra individually and collectively in Sankirtan. And share this message of Krishna consciousness with others. In this way, your life will be successful. If you follow my instructions, there is no need for you to read anything or do anything else. I will personally give you all the spiritual realizations, all the spiritual knowledge of all the scriptures that is required. All this knowledge will manifest in your heart if you give up your sinful activities and you take shelter of Krishna's holy name with humility and cooperation. All these dacoits, they immediately became first-class devotees and they incessantly, non-stop started chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srimati Janava Devi blessed them and with her entourage proceeded on her journey to Vrindavan Dham. And these dacoits immediately went to the village. They called all the villagers out of their homes and started preaching to them about Krishna consciousness. And they asked everyone to chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra individually and collectively in Sankirtan. And when the whole village became disciples of Janava Devi, or the disciples of the disciples of Janava Devi, because the dacoits were initiated by Janava Devi. So they came and they gave shelter to all the villagers. When the whole village became a village of first-class Gaudiya Vaishnavas, these dacoits entered the forest to seek out other dacoits. And whenever they would meet a band of dacoits in their own dacoit language, they would very forcefully preach to other gangs of dacoits, because they were the biggest, most influential gangs of dacoits. So they would catch hold of other gangs, other bands of dacoits, and they would preach to them about Krishna consciousness. And they would convert them into first-class Gaudiya Vaishnavas. In this way, Srila Radhanath Maharaj says that these dacoits who received shelter at the lotus feet of Srimati Janava Devi became the counselors for all of the dacoits in that part of the country. And they became exceedingly successful at their seva. And in this way, the entire villages and forest-dwelling tribals and dacoits and everyone, by the mercy of Janava Devi, they became first-class Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And Srimati Janava Devi continued her very, very wonderful journey to Vrindavan. And my dear friends, if all of you desire, and if all of you give me permission and blessings, then we can have a session 3, Glories of Srimati Janava Devi, because we have not even reached Vrindavan yet. There are so many beautiful pastimes that take place in Vrindavan Dham when Janava Devi returns to Vrindavan. And session 3 can be the last session. But it is almost noon, almost 12 o'clock. So we will stop here today and we will pray at the lotus feet of Srimati Janava Devi, who is even more merciful than Nityananda Prabhu. That just like she transformed by her merciful glance the envious worshippers of Chandi Devi had come to insult her, humiliate her, and blaspheme her, and spit on her. And just like she transformed the bloodthirsty, murderous dacoits who had come to assault her, the way she converted, transformed all of them into first class, humble, respectful, gentle Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Similarly, although we are filled with lust, oh my God, there is so much lust. Although we are filled with pride, I am such a nice devotee. Such a nice devotee. Of all the devotees, Guru Maharaj has chosen me. I am such a nice devotee.
Mm-hmm.
Although we are filled with anger at the slightest provocation, all the anger just bursts out like a fiery volcano. Although we are so greedy for money, for comfort, for security, for appreciation, for the claps, compliments of the devotees, we are so greedy. Greedy for false prestige, adoration, distinction, appreciation, glory. Although we are filled with lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, false ego, still, Srimati Janava Devi, O eternal consort of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who is non-different from Balaram, please, 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 cast your merciful glance upon us. Please look upon us with your merciful eyes from Goloka Vrindavan. And please bless us. Please purify us so that we are able to give up our vices of lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, false ego. We are able to give up our aparadha buddhi, our tendency to commit Vaishnava aparadha, nam aparadha. We are able to give up our tendency to commit nam aparadha. The first nam aparadha is to blaspheme the devotees of the Lord, either verbally, through our actions, or in our mind. We don't want to meditate on the faults of devotees. We don't want to talk about the faults of devotees. We don't want to criticize devotees. Please. We do not want to criticize devotees. So please bless us, Janava Devi, so that we can become purified and we can become your puppets, puppets of your compassion, of your mercy. And we can do what is pleasing to you and Guru Gauranga. Srimati Janava Devi represents our Guru Parampara. Therefore, we pray at the lotus feet of Janava Devi for purification today and to become her puppets so that she can make us dance the way she wants us to dance, the way Shri Guru Gauranga wants us to dance for their pleasure. श्री जानव पाद पद्मा कोरिया स्मराणा दीना कृष्ण दास को हे नाम संकीर्तना. We can repeat this prayer of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Firstly chanted as it is, the way Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote it. Now we can chant it. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mercifully puts his name there. We can repeat his prayer with our name there by calling ourselves Dinahina. calling ourselves Dina Hina because we are very fallen, very contaminated. Shri Janava Pada Padma Koriya Smarana Dina Hina Dasa Kohe Nama Sankirtana. Let us take shelter of Krishna's Naam, Krishna's name, and Naam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of Krishna's name. Individually and collectively, let us chant Krishna's name in Japa, giving up our vices, giving up our tendency to commit Naam Aparad, and with cooperation, let us enthusiastically serve in the mission of Srila Prabhupada, so that someday we are actually able to realize the three verses and other verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita, esoteric verses that we are reading. May Srimati Janava Devi enlighten our hearts with all spiritual realization. But for that we have to please Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. So let us do that enthusiastically now. My dear friends, these are some of the words that I wanted to share with all of you. And we will conclude here. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srimati Janava Devi ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for a very enlightening and very encouraging class. Thank you very much. Please, I don't have a question, but if anybody has a question or some suggestion or whatever, please do so. Otherwise, Prabhuji needs to go so we can end the class here. Please, thank you, all the devotees.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Yes, thank you for class. I just have one question. it's probably not an appropriate question, but I don't know how else to word it. Because you were comparing the compassionate nature of Lord Nityananda to Lord Chaitanya, and also Radharani. So, in that context, how would we compare the compassion of Janava Devi to Radharani?
Hare Krishna, what an ecstatic question, Mataji. Thank you for asking this question. This is Gaurangi Mataji, right?
Yes, Prabhu.
Gaurangi Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet.
Please,
I wish I could spend more time with you. Brooklyn ISKCON Temple on Narasimha Chaturdashi, but I was so happy to meet you for the first time there.
Yes, that's what I think.
How you were so much love, you were beholding forms of Shri Shri Radha Govinda Dev and Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So I'm very grateful to have met you, Mataji. Thank you very much for your question also. So, will answer in the third session in detail, but I will speak now also. Janava Devi is actually non.
Voice cut out.
I think so. Probably he'll join again. So we'll wait.
That he realizes that we don't hear him. I hope he's not speaking.
I'm texting him.
okay.
Hare Krishna, can everybody hear me?
Yes, Prabhu, now,
yes,
we can hear you.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry. The call got dropped. So, where did you hear me till? What was
there was nothing of the explanation. Nothing was there.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Prabhu,
I'm
you
so
have
sorry.
Not even started answering.
So, Gaurangi Mataji?
Yes.
What I was saying is, this question will be answered in more detail in the third session when Mataji goes to Vrindavan and meets Radharani. But I will speak now also. Anava Devi, Srimati Janava Devi, is Ananga Manjari in Vrindavan. And Ananga Manjari is the younger sister of Srimati Radharani. So there is no. So to answer your question, how does the mercy of Radharani compare to the Srimati Janavati? The answer is that it is non-different. The mercy of Janava Devi is same as the mercy of Srimati Radharani. It is supreme. They are supreme merciful because Janava Devi is Ananga Manjari. She is the younger sister of Srimati Radharani. So their mercy is completely non-different. And this will be very, 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 very directly explained in the third session. How the mercy of Srimati Janava Devi is non-different from Srimati Radharani. Because that is demonstrated in the Antya Leela of Srimati Janava Devi in Vrindavan. So Janava Devi is, you know, her mercy is non-different from the mercy of Srimati Radharani. Just like Srimati Radharani's pleasure potency, Shakti of Krishna. Similarly, Srimati Janava Devi is the pleasure potency, the Ladini Shakti of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So she is always assisting Radharani in her intimate pastimes. We'll see that in the next session, Mataji.
Okay. I would only say that, you know, it seems like the fact that one personality is an expansion of another doesn't seem to be enough of an explanation, because we saw that Lord Nityananda, although he's, I guess in one sense you can say he's non-different from Lord Chaitanya, we did see difference in their compassion. Yet, even though, so based on that, you know, it just doesn't seem sufficient to say that because, you know, Ananga Devi is like expansion of Radharani, that therefore, you know, her compassion would also be non-different, because that wasn't the case when it came to Chaitanya and Nityananda. You understand my point?
Yes, yes. So, two things, Mataji. First thing is, our acharyas give the example of the moon. That just like the moon is one, but the moon manifests a different degrees of brightness on different nights. For example, the full brightness is there on the Purnima. And then there is no brightness on Amavasya. The moon is still there, it's the same moon. And then there is the crescent moon, there is the half moon, there is a 3/4 moon, and there is a full moon. So the moon on every night is the same moon, equally powerful, but manifests different degrees of brightness. Similarly, Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are non-different. Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are non-different, but they choose to manifest different qualities differently, different degrees of mercy. Similarly, in Tattva, there is no difference between the mercy demonstrated by Srimati Radharani, who is the Ladini Shakti of Krishna, compared to the mercy manifested by Srimati Janava Devi, who is the Ladini Shakti of Nityananda Prabhu. In Tattva, there is no difference. But at different times, the mercy is manifested differently. Srimati Radharani is all merciful, gives complete mercy as Srimati Radharani, and when she covers Krishna and comes in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And similarly, Janava Devi also gives complete, 100% complete mercy as Srimati Janava Devi. The only difference is Srimati Janava Devi is very, very accessible to fallen people like us. For example, even the dacoits, even the worshippers of Chandi, and so many other fallen people. And she traveled. Whereas you don't see that degree of manifestation of extreme compassion in case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Gadadhar Pandit, who is also Radharani. So it's the same mercy, same personality, but they choose to manifest different degrees of mercy and compassion at different times. Just like the moon on different nights manifests different brightness.
Okay.
So it is simultaneously one and different. Simultaneously one and different. And Madhuri, I just want to say that I was so happy to meet you at the Brooklyn Temple. And,
oh yes, that part came through, Prabhu. Thank you very much again for that.
Yeah, I was seeing how with so much love you were taking darshan, you were beholding the beautiful forms of Shri Radha Govinda Dev. And I was feeling so inspired by your bhakti. So very, very happy to meet you in person on Narasimha Chaturdashi recently. And thank you for your very beautiful questions, because it shows us how Janava Devi is Ananga Manjari, who is the younger sister of Srimati Radharani. So
is she also called Ananga Sakhi?
Hare Krishna. Mataji, so I have heard some acharyas call her Ananga Sakhi, that she is Sakhi. And I have heard some acharyas address her as Ananga Manjari. But in our line, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, more often she is addressed as Ananga Manjari.
Well, I asked only because, there's one disciple in our ISKCON who was given that name by Radhanath Maharaj. And so I was wondering if, for that reason, I was wondering.
What is the name of that devotee?
Ananga Sakhi.
Ananga Sakhi. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Yes, so both the names are there, Mataji.
Okay. Okay.
Ananga Sakhi and Ananga Manjari also.
Thank you so much, Prabhu, for everything.
Thank you very much, Gaurangi Mataji, my humble obeisances to you.
So
it is the 12:15. We can end the class now.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Before we end up the class, thank you once again for such a beautiful lecture, and especially the example that you shared, that yes, the moon has different effulgence every day, different night. So yes, I know you are busy, you are in Washington, D.C., and you have to go, so we'll certainly end up the call. But before that, I want to just make an announcement and seek blessings and prayers from all of you who are present on the call to please pray for His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu. Today he is getting his Brahmin Diksha from His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj in Washington, D.C. So please shower all your prayers and wishes to His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol, Prabhuji! Congratulations!
Congratulations! Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam Adi Gadadhar Prabhu! Hari
Bol! I may be able to come. I don't know their importance. Today, some devotees are Baltimore.
Thank you very much.
I'm on my way to Potomac now.
Oh, Hari Bol. So I will hopefully meet you, Gaurang Mataji and Kamodaki Mataji. And thank you very much, Kirtida Sundari Mataji, for seeking blessings for an insignificant servant like myself. I'm very, very grateful for your blessings and your prayers. Thank you, everyone. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. So we're back.